If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be.
Welcome back. It's Karen Conti. And, you know, today, I don't know if anybody looked at the national what days, but today is National Work Like a Dog Day. And I didn't know that. And I had already booked Steve Dale as my guest before I knew that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And at times I do work like a dog. I'm not sure what that means, though.
Well, because dogs don't work.
No, they just have a, actually,
they just have a good time.
You are right. So the secret to training dogs, have fun with your dog. That's it.
I can
go home now.
Work like a dog day. Yeah. I think someone needs to Google that and tell me what the heck. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? But Steve Dale, you do Steve Dale's Pet World, 6:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. on Sundays, and you do TV, too. Tell us about your TV thing.
I do lots of TV things. So I do, does YouTube count as TV?
Yeah,
because
sure.
I do have a YouTube page with hundreds and hundreds of videos. We talk about everything from flea control to how to train a cat to use a litter box that isn't using the box. Thinking outside the box. I'm all about that. And all sorts of infectious diseases in animals. In addition, I'm on Housemarts TV.
Yes.
As I think you periodically are.
Yes, yeah, I am. Yeah. You do a little pet segment. And
so
I do...
you're my sister on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do an in-house counsel. So it's a segment on legal issues that relate to being a homeowner or a renter.
A truck just ran into our house.
Yes.
Who do we sue? That
happens.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. We have a lot to talk about. More than two-thirds of American households own pets. Annually, they spend more than $50 billion on their care. Pets are very, very important to us. And I have pets myself. I have two cats. I've been a cat owner forever, if anyone knows. I'd love to have dogs, but I can't have dogs as I travel too much. But I just want to talk a little bit about, first of all, there's a news story that Roger just read about a horrible situation where a woman was mauled to death by a pit bull. I think it was yesterday on the South Side. And I know a lot of people think pit bulls should be outlawed. What is your position on it, Steve? I know that's a hard issue.
Well, for me, it's not. What happened is terrible.
I mean, I'm
not going to say that they apparently don't know who owned the dog or where the dog came from, which is a very unusual situation in of itself. A roaming dog. I mean, that doesn't happen in Chicago or the United States very often.
Right.
A dog that comes out of nowhere. Nobody owns the dog and the dog attacks a person. But the fact that the dog looks like a certain look has nothing to do with the demeanor of an individual dog. They don't come out of the chute looking like pit bulls. First of all, a dog that we would identify as a pit bull looking dog is almost always a mixed breed dog. So I've been saying that for years, and now we can do, and we have done, genetic testing on these dogs, and they are mixed breeds. That's all they are.
So please just fill me in, because I don't know the answer to this. Are pit bulls more likely to bite people and to attack?
No.
Are they in temperament different in any way than other dogs?
No.
Okay.
So you have a mixed breed dog, and it depends what is in that individual mix. So it's a dog to dog to dog, but that's true with all dogs. And backing up one step, well, what happened is awful. It truly is. I will say this comparison. So how many people over a period of, let's say, 2 weeks are killed in our city? Or I could take another city, Detroit or Newark or wherever. There are 12 to approximately 30 deaths a year caused by dogs in America. And while that is approximately 12 to 30 too many, because we'd like that number and that number should be zero, there are 70 million dogs in America. So considering how many dogs there are, serious dog attacks happen very rarely. According to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, the American Veterinary Medical Association, and Humane Society of the United States, there is absolutely no correlation, none, with suspected breed, and they used to track it. They don't anymore.
I always thought German Shepherds were the bitingest dog, if there's such a thing. I mean, that's what I remember.
Talk to veterinarians, they may say Chihuahuas. Really?
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to do the damage that a larger dog would do. But I don't even know that that's true. I mean, we're generalizing here because no one really keeps record of this stuff, because the officials who would keep those records say, breed is often misidentified in the first place. Unless you do a genetic test, you really can't know. And in dogs, how they look doesn't necessarily match what they are. So clearly, if you see an American Cocker Spaniel on the street, you know that's a Cocker Spaniel. But for mixed breed dogs, we really don't know. And pit bulls are just, after all, mixed breed dogs. Now, they do have an image problem. That's absolutely true.
Right. And they need a publicist for that, I think.
They do, which brings us to what Delta Airlines did.
Yes.
Which Delta Airlines said just a couple of weeks ago, if you have a dog that we call a pit bull, I don't know who calls it that at Delta. Is it the person behind the desk? I mean, I don't know who makes that judgment. Because a study was done, and I know you like facts and studies, right? Right. So according to one study that was done, I can't cite the study. I think it was the American Veterinary. I know it was published in the Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association. That much I know. And who are the most likely dog experts on the planet? They're veterinarians, I would think, right?
Right.
They cannot identify breed any better than you or I. A veterinarian that's working every day, maybe for 40 years as a veterinarian. Yes, again, that American Cocker Spaniel, of course. But these mixed breed dogs, they really can't. Genetic testing can, but is Delta Airlines going to do that? Anyway, Delta said no pit bulls, even if the dog is a legitimate service dog.
Interesting. So, and again, you know, this whole issue of service dogs, I know you talk about this all the time, service pets, and it's a big topic, and I don't want to, you know, make the whole discussion about it. But I hear people all the time, as you do, say, service peacocks, that's really not fair. What if you're allergic?
No,
you know, I was just on a flight to Copenhagen, and they said no one should take out anything with peanuts because we have someone on board who's allergic to peanuts. So if you brought something on board, please stow it and don't open it. People are allergic to dogs. People are allergic to animals. How do you parse that? If someone has a service pet that they need to bring on the plane, how do you balance that with the right of someone not to be, you know, sniffing and sneezing for 8 hours on a flight?
Well, first of all, people can move their seat. Second of all, allergies kind of don't work like that. So in cats, we're allergic actually to a protein in their saliva. We're not allergic to the hair, but they groom themselves so that very sticky protein sticks on them and over a period of time. So if I come to your house with your two cats, and if I am severely allergic to cats, instantly when I walk in your house, because your cats have been there every single day, day in and day out. On an
doing
airplane,
nothing, by the way. Doing nothing constructive.
But they've got a wonderful life doing nothing. And that is sometimes what cats do. Actually, they're great thinkers. They're not doing...
Oh, really?
They're philosophers.
Okay.
So you didn't know that. So they're not doing nothing. They're working very hard in their head. The cats are in the carrier. And that is hair is not going to fly around the airplane in a matter of even an 8 hour or 10 hour flight, let alone a more typical flight that's a couple of hours. For dogs, don't pet the dog, period, and you won't have a problem.
Do you think, though, that some of these people who are trying to bring on these snakes or peacocks,
oh, of course,
and that kind of ruins the cause,
but
right?
That's, of course.
That's but in law, that's just like saying the law is wrong because people are abusing it a little bit, right?
Totally. Mean, so when the law was created, a couple of things, the powers that be that created the law, and this must happen to you because you're involved, I'm sure, in creating laws, but you don't have a crystal ball. So when they created the law to allow animals on planes as legitimate service dogs, and two bodies did that, the federal government and also the airplane industry were involved in that too regarding air travel, they couldn't have envisioned the internet and what would be on the internet and that people would get, and they do, certificates for $19.95 saying my animal is a comfort dog. And in fact, the term comfort animal didn't even exist at that point, so they couldn't have thought about peacocks and even insects that people have taken on the plane. Now, the airlines have, and in my opinion, to their credit, I think it's the right thing to do, have said they have a long list of animals now
right.
that cannot be taken on airplanes, which includes snakes and lobsters and peacocks. But having said that, those peacock stories, like the llama on the plane, they are the very much the exception to the rule. But now they shouldn't even be allowed.
No,
you're right.
It makes everyone disrespect the law to when you try to pack your alpaca, I guess you should say.
Yeah, exactly. But there are people that really do benefit by having a comfort animal, and people who need service animals.
Got it. We're talking to Steve Dale on the Karen Conti Show. Steve Cochran has free White Sox tickets for you Monday at 8:40 a.m., so tune in. We're talking to Steve Dale, the animal guy, the pet guy.
I am.
You are. You know everything about animals. You are just. I follow you on Facebook. You're always eating somewhere cool. You're always traveling somewhere cool. You
I'm
and your wife
eating.
Are very cute together. Very, very cute together. But I want. Oh, and you just. Did you just celebrate an anniversary?
Yeah.
How many years have you been married?
30.
Oh my gosh! And you look like you're about 30.
This is why I love you.
You need a booster seat here. You look like a kid. That's fabulous. Congratulations. You know, you'd put divorce lawyers like me out of business, really.
I hope to.
But you were just in England at some cat festival or something. What was it?
Yeah, so I'm on the board of the Wynn Feline Foundation. So if you have a cat, and you have two, everything we know about your cats was once funded by the Wynn Feline Foundation.
Huh.
From the vaccines they get to the vaccines they may not get to understanding diseases and much, much more. Everything was once funded. So when researchers do studies on cats and dogs, we fund cats only, they go to sources for that funding, right? And we are the primary source around the world. There's no organization that funds cat health studies, and that is all we do, other than the Wynn Feline Foundation. And there's an organization called International Cat Care. They are advocates for cats, as their name implies. It's international. It's a veterinary group, greatly, and they invited the Wynn Feline Foundation to come to England, where they had an intimate meeting at the House of Lords.
Why do I think this was just like a tax-deductible event for you to fly out to London and hang out there in the pubs drinking good beer? And
I would have liked to have done that, actually. But I didn't even get to a single pub. So I had this, but I need you.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I did something.
What did you do?
So I had the House of Lords. That's like the Congress, right?
Yeah.
Except the building itself is like 1,000 years old. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing history. I sat next to a lord, a real lord. So why do I need you? I stole a fork.
You did.
It had the insignia on it of the House of Lords, so I had to take it. So am I in trouble?
You might be, but this is attorney-client privilege, so no one else is listening, just you and me, Steve.
Okay.
So you went to the cat meeting. Okay, we've got so much to talk about. I talked about a case, a news story last week, Steve, that it was about a Colombian cartel put out a $70,000 hit on a drug-sniffing dog, and I was just amazed by that because this drug cartel was putting out $500 hits on drug people, but the dog, they were so mad at the dog because the dog sniffed like millions of dollars worth of drugs that they lost. Are these dogs just amazing?
Yes. So if you can imagine walking into a deli, this is any dog. Walking into a deli, right? You're walking into a deli, and you smell that kind of generic deli. Well, you tell me. What do you smell?
You smell cheese and meat and,
it's just that like a generic smell. A dog, think file cabinets. A dog can file each of those individual smells. So the corned beef, can't identify what they are, of course, but the corned beef and the pastrami, two different things to a dog's nose, in different file cabinets, and the cheese you mentioned, and all the different food, name the food items, but also the lady with Marge Simpson hair that has the spray on it that keeps it up in the air can smell that. The guy with the stinky perfume, the guy with the toupee over there, that dog knows that that's not real hair. I mean, on and on and on, and a dog can figure that out in 5 minutes or less.
Wow.
So dogs can, if they're trained, identify bodies that are like 8 feet to 10 feet underwater. And they're above water.
Wow.
And they can smell it. So we don't even comprehend what it must be like in the head of a dog when they smell a single blade of grass they can get the 411, we know, on any dog who's been there and peed on that single blade of grass and know that dog's kind of like a business card. So they can get that that dog is a male dog in good health, an older dog, whatever.
Is there a time, approximately how long does it take to train a dog? Do you know? Are we talking years?
Yeah, maybe. It depends what they're being trained for.
Okay. Like cadaver dogs maybe just do one thing.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a little more directed.
But potentially years. Whether they be the service dog, legitimate service dogs that we were talking about earlier, or we're talking about these sorts of dogs that we're talking about now. And they are so good at their job. I can see, unfortunately, where the drug cartels would say, we don't want to be caught anymore, and
right.
This dog's a superstar. This was in Mexico, right?
I think it was a Colombian.
It was Colombian.
And it was some really big cartel. And apparently the dog is in hiding in the witness protection program or whatever the equivalent is.
The dog is disguised as a poodle or
maybe,
something.
Maybe, but I that story was just amazing. Let's switch topics to divorce. And this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart.
I thought you weren't going to allow me to talk about divorce.
No, you're going to talk about divorce and the pets. And Illinois just passed a law not too long ago that basically talks about how what happens when a family splits up and what the, how does it get decided where the dog or the cat or the pet goes? What do you think about this new law? And does it change the law drastically in Illinois?
Well, it changes it somewhat. So I'm going to throw a question back to you in a way. The reason why the law changed is judges were moving in that direction anyway.
Yes.
They were saying...
That's true.
They were saying, well, all right, we can only do so much by the law the way the law is now, but I have a dog at home. I have a cat at home. I understand they're members of the family. And they were stretching the law as much as they could. So is it unusual for judges to... And culture. It's really the judges were doing that because of our culture changing over a period of time. So for those who have pets at home, well over 90% consider pets members of the family.
Yeah.
So they are. I mean, hurricane comes. If you can't leave somewhere with your pet, we now know that they're not going to leave the house. And even if it means risking their own life to do so. So judges
right.
know all that. So they were saying, I'm going to stretch it as much as. So is it unusual then for the law to, and this is a good example, for the law to then change
yeah.
and catch up with everybody?
Absolutely. And I think what we're talking about is a pet is a piece of property.
Technically.
Or is a pet... have some sort of feelings or some sort of should something be decided based upon the dog's best interest and the family's best interest as opposed to dog goes here, kids go here, dog goes here. And I think what the courts have done, and this really codifies it, is where is this dog, I'll say dog, better off? And I have a case where I settled the whole thing, and they agreed. The one thing they agreed upon, the two couples breaking up with the two small children, is that the dog follows the kids. The kids loved the dog. So when the kids went with dad for Monday and Tuesday, it was one of those then Wednesday and Thursday with mom,
yeah.
the dog would be transported back and forth. And it was wonderful for the kids because they had that continuity where, I wasn't thrilled with that back and forth. That's kind of hard on kids in my view. But that dog... followed them, and it was a nice thing, and they both agreed on that. They both agreed to split the cost of veterinary and all of the things that a dog needs, and they were able to get together on that, which was very interesting.
I think that's great. Like you, going back and forth, shuttling back and forth with the animal, I know is very difficult too, but
yeah,
with the kids there, that helps the animal, and I suspect it helps the kids that the dog is there
yes.
as well.
Yeah.
Because that provides more continuity and comfort on both sides of the equation. But it's interesting that just 20 years ago, a dog was considered strictly property. Chattel,
yes,
I think, would
exactly.
be your term.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was like a leash or a bowl or something like that. And they were considered almost inanimate objects. And we do know this. We know that as far as dogs and cats... That little, the soup, the brain chemistry, and the emotions that result from that are really the same. They may not feel them the same way. They certainly can't articulate them the same way. But they do have the same essential feelings that we have.
And go switching to the, you know, best interest, to the best interest of the dog, the judges I see, they will say, was this dog a gift? You know, the guy gave it to the wife for a surprise birthday gift. Who trains the dog? Who feeds the dog? Who takes the dog for a walk? Is the wife living in the suburbs where maybe there's a yard and the husband's living downtown in an apartment and it wouldn't be fair to have a greyhound in an apartment? So I think the judges
Greyhounds love apartments, but that's a whole other thing.
So I mean, the idea is that you're looking at where the dog is best off and who is the dog connected to and which of the people are connected to the dog, which are two different questions.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you about something really bad I did once. Okay. So this is worse than the fork story. So, or as bad. So someone called me. I don't remember the circumstances at all, but and this was years ago when judges didn't look at it quite the same way. And they wanted to know in court, as you said, who the dog is more connected to. So I told her chicken. So make, yeah, I did. So rub some chicken all over your arms.
Oh, my goodness.
And your dog will be more connected to you. She did it, and the dog was, and the judge said the dog is with you.
I am finding out so many things. You're a chicken rubber, and you're a fork stealer. But other than that, you're a good guy.
I don't know.
Steve Dale, thank you for joining us. We didn't even get to any of the...
My new website.
Tell everyone your new website.
SteveDale.tv.
And we can hear you on WGN on Saturday mornings.
Sunday, 6:30.
6:30 a.m. And we can see you on Facebook and we can see you on YouTube. You're all over the place.
That's much to the chagrin of everyone who knows me.
Steve, it was wonderful for you to come in.
Thank you.
All right.